Trendstorm.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and Trendstorm. My name is Andrew Kripko, and I'm going to give you a forward-focused analysis of things to come and the general trends behind them. Here's what we have for you today. Espionage arrest. Who is the spy and who is the political poker chip? The arrest of alleged spies by the US and Russia has caused a simmering back and forth dispute about whether the accused individuals are really secret agents or just political poker chips. Arab League, bearing the hatchet with Syria. Rumors have been swirling that the Arab League is getting ready to readmit Syria to the bloc, suggesting that a deal of sorts may have been reached with Damascus to facilitate the reconciliation. And also, Yellow Vest, Salvini versus Macron. The Yellow Vest received some strong international support from President Macron's Italian rival, Matteo Salvini, who accused the French leader of being against his people. Opening up this edition of Trendstorm are the US and Russia's seemingly tit-for-tat espionage arrest. The arrest of alleged spies by the US and Russia has caused a simmering back-and-forth dispute about whether the accused individuals are really secret agents or just political poker chips. Russian national and NRA enthusiast Maria Butina was arrested in D.C. last summer on charges of acting as an unregistered foreign agent, and she later pled guilty to a conspiracy to act as one as part of a plea deal that was controversially reached after weeks of solitary confinement. Moscow always maintained that she's innocent of all charges and wouldn't have reached the deal that she did had it not been for the intensely traumatizing conditions of her imprisonment. Her case was beginning to fade away from the news until shortly before the new year, when Russia arrested Paul Whelan, a former U.S. Marine and possible holder of up to four separate nationalities, after what local media reported was his attempt to obtain classified information about the country's secret services. American voices immediately speculated that this was a trumped-up case designed to create the conditions for a so-called prisoner swap with Butina, though Moscow adamantly denied that this was the case and insisted that the facts would eventually become public, proving his crimes against the country. Just a day afterwards, however, the U.S. arrested another Russian. Dmitry Makarenko was arrested in the Northern Mariana Islands on the allegation that he was involved in illegally exporting military equipment in what almost unquestionably seems to be a tit-for-tat retaliation for Whelan's arrest the day earlier. Details are still emerging about these two cases, but it looks like the Russian commentators who point out the so-called coincidence are onto something and have a lot more to work with than their American counterparts who said that Whelan's arrest was a response to Butina's. Whatever the truth may be, the overall theme is that the U.S. and Russia have recently made public their arrest of one another's accused spies. This in and of itself isn't unprecedented, but it is unusual since these law enforcement actions usually occur away from the public eye and are discussed behind closed doors with one another's diplomats, not the media. There is evidently a lot of tension in the air when it comes to Russian-American relations as a result of the U.S.'s incessant strategy of pressure against its Eurasian great power rival, and the last three espionage arrests seem to be a sign of these times. The question on everyone's mind, however, is which of these individuals are really secret agents, and which of them might just be political poker chips. Okay, folks, we've been talking about this story for the past 6 months, but it seems like it doesn't go away after more people keep getting arrested. So we need to answer the question, who's really a spy and who is a political poker chip? So starting off our program today, we're going to speak with Ms. Zoya Conover. She's a political commentator from the U.S. state of Georgia.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Zoya, what benefit does the U.S. media get from portraying Whelan's arrest as a so-called reprisal for Butina's and continuing with the narrative that Russia will trade him for her in a forthcoming spy swap despite Moscow denying that this will be the case? Zoya, are they trying to give the Russians an idea or just attempting to manipulate the public's perceptions to distract from what their alleged spy did?
I would like to remind people that international espionage is quite an ancient profession and has always been supported by this or that government. This is one of the most important political games in which major powers like Russia, Great Britain, and America played according to certain rules. With Trump's victory, in which he was accused of colluding with Russia, all the rules and diplomacy, as Foreign Minister Lavrov said, have turned into children's games. Therefore, the media needs new sensations to continue the hysteria against Russia. So, Putin's arrest is just another hoax perpetrated on the American people in order to increase the distrust and hatred of Russia. Distrust that protects the $1 trillion annual budget of the U.S. military security complex. There is a question of whether Putin's arrest is a real spy case or just another move in a decades-old Cold War game. In the Putin-Whelan case, there are two important points the media is selling to American people. First, American people must be convinced that Russia continues their dirty games and immediately reacts on any accusations by tit-for-tat, in this case, espionage, and also continues to influence American policy. Secondly, the mainstream media wants to prove that President Putin punishes innocent Americans cruelly. Both of these points help the media get more viewers and sell more ads.
Okay, thank you for putting that into perspective for us. That was very useful, and that really gives us a way to better understand what's happening. Now, Zoya, it did catch many observers by surprise that the U.S., after decrying what it said was Russia's tit-for-tat arrest of Whelan because of Putin, went and arrested Makarenko a day after Whelan was caught. So what does that suggest about which the two countries is the one that's really imprisoning people for political reasons and trying to use them as poker chips?
Quick response by U.S., isn't it? In past times, identifying a spy and confirming accusations would take a fair amount of time. What is happening at the moment? Who is gaining whom? Let's not forget that in times of political aggravation, spies or diplomats have always been sacrificed. This quick arrest of Makarenko is Trump's way of staying tough on Russia, which will provide him additional cover to prove that he is not Putin's pawn. Sadly, it does position the U.S. as the primary aggravator of this situation. All this accelerated activity of grabbing and imprisoning so-called spies will, in fact, lead to an actual spy swap. By the way, some people may recall that Sergei Skripal also part of a swap, with the Kremlin releasing the Russian military intelligence officer who was convicted in 2006 of spying for the UK. Skripal ended up living in England and is now the center of yet another false anti-Russian narrative created by the UK.
Okay, Zoya, well then, how do you foresee this so-called spy spat being resolved? All three cases have reached the level of becoming international scandals, especially Putin and Whelan's, and pressure is growing in the Trump administration to do something to save its suspected asset in Moscow. So do you think that he might work out a deal with President Putin, or could the deep state get in the way?
The thing is that in this category of cases, exchanges often happen. For an exchange to happen on the U.S. side, the spies they caught would have to go to court. The court has to examine the case to prove guilt. The sentence must come into legal force. After that, the president can pardon him or her, and an exchange can happen. Either way, the case creates images of two superpowers sending delegations to Berlin's famous breach of spies to exchange people under the cloak of fog and nightfall. People who think the U.S. deep state is some kind of conspiracy theory are the ones who are being naive. Many uninformed people think that President Trump is in charge of the entire U.S. government. He is not. Just look at how ineffective he has been in obtaining justice in the Jamal Khashoggi case. There are deep state operatives setting traps for him around every corner. If a spy swap does go through, it will be spun in a way that makes Russia out to be the real bad actor. We will be told that Butina and Makarenko are true spies, while Whelan was just an unlucky person in the wrong place at the wrong time. As President Dwight Eisenhower warned us, in 1961, the military security complex is a threat to democracy and accountable government. The deep state is definitely not going to permit any reduction in its income and power by permitting normalization of relations with Russia.
Zoya, this was a very well-articulated explanation of the many complexities related to the international espionage game. Thank you for enlightening us with your views. Now, folks, we're going to swing over and hear what Mr. Matthew Farag has to say. He's a Chicago-based political commentator.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Matt, Maria Butina was supposedly in contact with the government-connected economic figure, while Paul Whelan was reportedly caught red-handed with a flash drive containing classified information, though the U.S. made a big deal about the former's details, while Russia has been tight-lipped about the latter. So what do you make out of this media contrast between the two arrests, and what does it say about which of them might have been politically motivated?
The case of Maria Butina, who heads the Russian gun lobby, as a politically motivated accusation with no solid evidence to verify the claims made by the FBI. In contrast, Paul Whelan also has citizenship with the U.S., Britain, and Ireland. The media silence on this is deafening, especially when considering that Russia is in possession of a flash drive used by Whelan to obtain classified info. The mainstream media has lost so much credibility that the American people are waking up rapidly and seeing through their false narratives, causing the deep state great panic. And if they use torture to force confessions upon Maria Butina, Trump has military documents as backup against Mueller.
Okay, I see. So if I understand you correctly, then as you said, Maria Butina's arrest seems to be politically motivated, whereas Paul Whelan, I mean, he seems to be the spy that was caught red-handed, right?
Correct. And he has more citizenship, including his home country of Canada.
Yeah, that is a little bit suspicious, somebody with four passports. I mean, that in and of itself does not mean anything, but the fact that we have a suspected spy caught and he has so many citizenships, that does raise a lot of questions. Now, Matt, on to the next one. Russia's deputy foreign minister said that in response to Makarenko's arrest, who was just arrested a day after Whelan, that, quote, U.S. law enforcement officials are continuing their hunt on Russian citizens, end quote, implying that he and Butina are being used as political poker chips in the new Cold War and that there might even soon be other victims as well. So, Matt, do you think this is the case? And if so, what purpose are these arrests supposed to achieve? Could they be done by Trump's deep state enemies to sabotage his relations with Russia?
Yes. Makarenko was detained with his wife, kids, and parents as they landed at Saipan Airport at the capital of the Northern Mariana Islands, a U.S. territory like the Virgin Islands. Then he was taken to Florida, the ministry said. The Russian embassy in Washington wants access to Makarenko and an explanation for the arrest. He was detained by the FBI at the airport immediately after arrival, the statement said. At the same time, the Russian embassy in Washington learned about what happened not from American law enforcement officials, but his relatives. As an FBI arrest is unusual outside the U.S. mainland, it seems like a possible spy exchange is coming with more.
Okay, I see. Very interesting. Now, can you maybe expand a little bit about what I asked at the tail end of my question about Trump's deep state enemies maybe trying to sabotage his relations with Russia? I mean, do you think that these suspected spy arrests in the U.S. of Russian citizens was meant to maybe send a political message, or do you see them as purely apolitical law enforcement measures, despite them having overtly political context?
Well, remember, he does control the chessboard against the deep state, and he has many plans, but some have to be kept secret. Otherwise, they'll be ruined.
That is a pretty good point. Now, Matt, how do you foresee our Russian-American relations developing then throughout the first couple months of this year, bearing in mind these two latest cases against one another's citizens, one of which, Makarenko's, might have been a so-called tit-for-tat reprisal for Wellen's arrest, seeing as how it occurred a day afterwards? And what, in your view, needs to be done to prevent this spy war from escalating? Matt, is there any hope in sight? Or can we expect the U.S. deep state to continue the course that they've charted?
Yes, and that's connected to the second part of the second question you just asked me. Trump is de-escalating the issue. And now here's the deep state games, how it's going now. He knew that Roy Moore is more vulnerable to election fraud than his Republican primary opponent, Luther Strange, as people who don't want someone who repeatedly runs in most cases. And Democrats stole the House of Representatives last election. But before Trump can release the FISA documents at the right time, he needs to threaten House Dems if they take any action. And the shutdown is making the economy better, as Democrats want a recession to reduce his popularity, which is why Chuck Schumer is asking him to stop making those memes on Twitter, as it is working. Hillary had her security clearance revoked last August, and after the FBI raided homes of Clinton whistleblowers, Clinton Foundation whistleblowers, the Federalist writer Bree Payton, who exposed the stroke page text, had a mysterious death, and like Antoine Scalia, who seems to have been killed by Podesta, Valerie Jarrett, and John Brennan, the doctors claimed it to be an illness. During our interview, will the Don be taken down? I said the Podesta's blackmailed Roberts on Obamacare twice. And now, after Kavanaugh got confirmed, he denied that there are Bush, Clinton, Obama, and Trump judges, which Trump countered him on. And I just learned why he was able to get blackmailed. Roberts, as a member of Knights of Malta, illegally adopted two kids from Ireland. Now, here's how what Trump learned from, how he learned lessons. The Triangle of Death by Bradley O'Leary showed that the Kennedys were global elites, but the president himself was going to be exposed by a drug trafficking scandal in Vietnam. And Watergate happened after Nixon refused to enact demands from Bohemian Grove. Reagan was almost killed, as the CIA also wanted to frame him for unauthorized weapon sales and drug trafficking, Iran-Contra. So it's no wonder the media attacked Trump for doing the right thing on withdrawing troops, because they once asked, which they once asked him to do, as he needed right timing. And he had a few short-lived globalists in his cabinet and refused past invites to delivering meetings. And Bolton writes against globalism, whom Trump uses for his Middle East knowledge. And during our interview, Iran Deal is a transatlantic referral. I told you that Trump supporters were happy when I showed you some of your article on geopolitical.ru called How the Neocons Are Tempting Trump on Syria. And after the second strike, which I also mentioned, caused a few injuries by missile fragments, I read an article on Russia Today titled, Assad, Why Talk to Trump When He Does Not Control the U.S.? Remember, Saddam Hussein was a CIA puppet, and Iraq War I started with the conversation Ambassador April Glaspie had with Saddam, indicating that he may have Kuwait. And after the U.S.-led coalition won, Bush Sr. declared New World Order. 3 years after the 2003 invasion, Secretary of State Rice announced Colonel Ralph Peters' New Middle East Project, a continuation of the World War I Psyche's picket agreements. And Peters created his disturbing map he called Blood Borders. Not a new thing. A journal's life by Omar Bradley mentioned in Chapter 58 that Truman Secretary of State Esten gave a national press club speech excluding South Korea from the defense perimeter, as mentioned in The Forgotten War by Bill Shen. As Channel News Asia commentator Tom McGregor pointed in his article, A Winter Discontent Awaits After Huawei's Executive Arrested, this is a deep state plot. He also wrote, the year China's rise enters awkward adolescent phase, it shows that the trade war will force Chinese President Xi to change Beijing leadership in a way China and Russia will win economically as the EU gets wounded, especially with help from the Yellow Vest. When James Comey tweeted about his dog that died, some suspected that former CIA director Bush Sr., whose code name was Timberwolf, died before it was announced. That same goes to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. On March 31 of last year, Trump issued an executive order titled 2018 Amendment to the Manual for Courts Martial. The United States will start military tribunals by next year. A grand jury is a citizens' court to conduct an independent investigation. So Mueller got a six-month extension.
Okay, Matt, this was a real insightful chat about how suspected spies are being used by the U.S. deep state as political poker chips against Russia. I really liked how you included a domestic political context into all of this at the end, and you helped us piece together some of the puzzle by providing a clear picture of what might really be going on. So thank you very much for that.
Trendstorm.
Okay, folks, if we think back and what both Zoya and Matthew shared with us today, I think that we can conclude that Butina and Makarenka's arrest do seem to be politically motivated, while a very convincing case can be made that Whelan might really be the spy that he suspected of being. However, we have yet to really receive all the full evidence of his suspected crimes. That being said, it does look like, after having analyzed the media's reactions to these cases, that the Western mainstream media is blowing Whelan's case completely out of proportion and seems to be weaving the narrative that his arrest is a response to Butina's, while completely forgetting that Makarenka's occurred around 24 hours after Whelan's, and that seems to be the real reprisal here. So folks, if you want to sign off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.